back down the hall. James has all sorts of questions when I get back, but I'm still so angry I'm not ready to deal with him. It doesn't seem to matter. James is stubborn as hell. I'm strapping on holsters and locking my weapons into place, and he won't back down.
But then what did he say?
James is asking.
After you said we should find Warner.
I adjust my pants, tighten the laces on my boots. James taps my arm.
Adam!
He taps my arm again.
Did he know where Castle was?
Another tap.
Did he say what time you guys had to leave today?
More tapping.
Adam, when are you?
I pick him up and he squeaks. I place him in a far corner of the room.
Addie!
I throw a blanket over his head. James shouts and struggles with a blanket until he manages to pull it off and throw it down. He's red in the face and his fists are clenched and he's finally mad. I start laughing. I can't help it. James is so frustrated he has to spit the words out when he speaks.
Kenji said that I have as much right to know what's happening down here as everyone else. Kenji never gets mad when I ask questions. He never ignores me. He's never mean to me, and you're being mean to me. And I don't like it when you laugh at me.
James's voice breaks, and it's only then that I look up. I notice the tears streaked across his cheeks. Hey, I say, meeting him across the room. Hey, hey. I grip his shoulders, drop to one knee. What's going on? Why the tears? What happened?
You're leaving.
James hiccups. Aw, come on. I sigh. You knew I was leaving, remember? Remember when we talked about this?
You're going to die.
Another hiccup. I raise an eyebrow at him. I didn't know you could tell the future.
Addie.
Hey.
I don't call you Addie in front of anyone else,
James says, protesting before I have a chance to.
I don't know why it makes you so mad. You said you loved it when Mom called you Addie. Why can't I?
I sigh again as I get to my feet, mussing his hair on my way up. James makes a strangled sound and jerks away. What's the problem? I ask. I pull up my pants leg to attach a semi-automatic to the holster underneath. I've been a soldier for a long time now. You've always known the risks. What's different all of a sudden? James is quiet long enough for me to notice. I look up.
I want to come with you,
he says, wiping his nose with a shaky hand.
I want to fight too.
My body goes rigid. We're not having that conversation again.
But Kenji said...
I don't give a rat's ass what Kenji said. You are a 10-year-old child, I say. You are not fighting in any war, not walking onto any battlefield. Do you understand me? James stares at me. I said, do you understand me? I walk right up to him, grab his arms. James flinches a little.
Yes,
he whispers. Yes what?
Yes, sir,
he says, staring at the ground now. I'm breathing so hard, my chest is heaving. Never again, I say quietly now. We are never having this conversation. Not ever again.
Okay, Addie.
I swallow hard.
I'm sorry, Addie.
Get your shoes on. I stare at the wall. It's time for breakfast. Chapter 2. Hi. Juliet is standing next to my table, staring at me like she might be nervous, like we've never done this before. Hey, I say. Just seeing her face still makes my chest ache, but the truth is I have no idea what's going on between us anymore. I promised her I would find a way through this, and I've been training like hell, I really have, but after last night, I'm not gonna lie, I'm a little freaked out. Touching her is more serious than I ever thought it was. She could have killed Kenji. I'm still not sure she hasn't. But even after all this, I still want a future with her. I want to know that one day we'll be able to settle somewhere safe and be together in peace. I'm not ready to give up on that dream yet. I'm not ready to give up on us. I nod at an empty seat. You want to sit down? She does. We sit in silence a little while, her poking at her food, me at mine. We usually eat the same thing every morning. A spoonful of rice, a bowl of vegetable broth, a chunk of rock-hard bread, and, on good days, a little cup of pudding. It's not amazing, but it gets the job done, and we're usually grateful for it. But today, neither one of us seems to have an appetite. Or a voice. I sigh and look away. I don't know why it's so hard to talk to her this morning. Maybe it's the lack of Kenji, but things feel different between us lately. I want to be with her so badly, but being with her has never felt more dangerous than it does now. Every day we feel further apart, and sometimes I think the harder I try to hold on, the more she tries to break away. I wish James would hurry up and grab his breakfast. Having him here might make this easier. I sit up and look around the room, only to spot him talking with a group of his friends. I try to wave him over, but he's laughing at something and doesn't even notice me. The kid is kind of amazing. He's such a social guy, and so popular around here that sometimes I wonder where he got it from. In many ways, he's the exact opposite of me. He likes to let a lot of people in. I like to keep most people out. Juliet's the only real exception to that rule. I look back at her and notice the red rims around her eyes as they dart across the dining hall. She looks both wide awake and crazy tired, and she can't seem to sit still. Her foot is tapping fast under the table, and her hands are trembling a little. "Hey, are you okay?" I ask.
"Yes, absolutely,"
she says too quickly, but she's shaking her head.
"Did you, get enough sleep last night?"
"Yes,"
she says, repeating the word a few times. She does that occasionally, repeats the same word over and over again. I'm not sure she's even aware of it.
"Did you sleep well?"
she asks. Her fingers drum against the table, then against her arms. She keeps glancing around the room. She doesn't even wait for me to respond before she says,
"Have you heard anything about Kenji yet?"
That's when I understand. Of course she's not okay. Of course she didn't get any sleep last night. Last night she almost killed one of her closest friends. She just started trusting herself and not being afraid of herself. Now she's back to where she started. Shit, I'm already sorry I even brought it up.
"No, not yet,"
I cringe. "But," I say, hoping to change the subject, "I have heard that people are pretty pissed at Castle about what happened with Warner." I clear my throat. "Did you hear about him breaking out of here?" Juliet drops her spoon. It clatters to the floor and she doesn't seem to notice.
"Yes,"
she says quietly. She's blinking at her water cup, holding her napkin in her hands, folding and refolding it.
"People were talking about it in the halls. Did they know how he escaped?"
"I don't think so." I frown at her.
"Oh."
She says that a few times too. She sounds strange, scared even. Juliet has always been a little different from everyone else. She was like a crazed, skittish kitten when I first saw her in that cell, but she'd been getting a lot better over the last few months. Once she finally started trusting me, things changed. She evolved. She started talking and eating more and even got a little cocky. I loved seeing her come back to life. I loved being with her, watching her find herself. I think this experience with Kenji really set her back. I can tell she's only halfway here because her eyes are unfocused and her hands are moving mechanically. She does this a lot. It's like sometimes she just disappears, retreats into a corner of her brain and stays there a while, thinking about something she'll never talk about. She's acting a lot like her old self right now, and right now she's eating the cold rice on her plate one grain at a time, counting each bite under her breath. I'm about to try speaking to her again when James finally comes back to the table. I stand up immediately, grateful for the opportunity to shake off the awkward.
"Hey, buddy, why don't we go have a proper goodbye?"
"Oh,"
James says, sliding his tray onto the table.
"Okay, sure."
He glances at me before glancing at Juliet, who's now chewing a grain of rice very carefully.
"Hi,"
he says to her. Juliet blinks a few times, her face breaking into a wide smile the moment she notices him. It changes her, those smiles, and those are the moments that kill me a little.
Hi,
she says, so happy, so suddenly, you'd think James had hung the moon for her.
How are you? Did you sleep well? Would you like to sit down? I was just having some rice. Would you like some rice?
James is already blushing. He'd probably eat his own hair if she asked him to. I roll my eyes and drag him away, telling Juliet we'll be right back. She nods. I look over my shoulder as we walk away and notice that she doesn't seem to mind sitting alone for a little while. She stabs at something on her plate and misses, and that's the last I see of her before we turn the corner. Chapter 3.
What's going on? Why do we need to talk?
More questions from James. He's a freaking question machine.
Is everything okay? Can you tell Juliet not to eat my breakfast?
He cranes his neck to catch a glimpse of her, still sitting at the table.
Sometimes she eats my pudding.
Hey, I say, grabbing hold of his shoulders. Look at me. James turns to face me.
What's wrong, Eddie?
He searches my eyes.
You're not really going to die, are you?
I don't know, I tell him. Maybe, maybe not.
Don't say that,
he says quietly, dropping his gaze.
Don't say that. It's not nice to talk like that.
James, he looks up again, slowly this time. I drop to my knees and pull him close, resting my forehead against his. I'm staring at the floor, and I know he is too. I can hear our hearts racing in the silence. I love you, I finally say to him. You know that, right? You always come first. Everything I do is to take care of you, to protect you, to provide for you. James nods. It's you first, I say to him. It's always you first and everyone else second, and that's never going to change, okay? James nods again. A tear falls on the floor between us.
Okay, Addie.
Come here, I whisper, tugging him into my arms. We're going to be okay. James clings to me, acting more like a child than he has in a long time, and I'm happy to see it. Sometimes I worry he's growing up way too fast in this shitty world, and though I know I can't protect him from everything, I still try. He's been the only constant in my life for as long as I can remember. I think it'd rip me apart if anything happened to him. I'll never love anyone the way I love this kid. Chapter 4. After breakfast, the dining hall is practically empty. James had to report to the safe room with the other kids and the elderly staying behind, and everyone else is getting ready to head out. Some families are still saying final goodbyes. Juliet and I have been avoiding eye contact for a few minutes now. She's staring at her hands, studying her fingers like she's checking to make sure they're still there.
Well, damn! Who died?
Holy hell. That voice. That face. Impossible. Holy crap. Holy shit. I'm on my feet.
Good to see you too, Ken.
Kenji smiles wide and nods at me. He looks like hell. Tired eyes, pale face, hands shaking just a little as he holds on to the table. And what's worse is that he's already suited up, like he actually thinks he's heading out onto the battlefield.
You ready to kick some ass today?
I'm still staring at him in amazement, trying to find a way to respond when Juliet jumps up and practically tackles him. Just a hug, really, but yikes. A little too soon for that, I think.
Whoa, hey, thank you, yeah,
Kenji clears his throat. He tries to be nice about it, but it's clear he's trying to back away from Juliet, and yeah, she notices. Her face falls and she goes pale, her eyes wide. She hides her hands behind her back, even though she's wearing her gloves. There's really no obvious threat to Kenji right now, but I understand his hesitation. The dude almost died. He tried to break up a fight at the same time Juliet did, and bam, he went down in an instant. It was scary as hell, and even though I know Juliet didn't mean to do it, there's really no other explanation. It had to have been her.
Yeah, maybe you should hold off on touching me for a little while, yeah?
Kenji is smiling. Again, nice guy, but no one's buying it.
I'm not too steady on my feet just yet.
Juliet looks so mortified it breaks my heart. She's trying so hard to be okay, to make all this shit be okay, but sometimes it's like the world just won't let her. The hits keep coming and she keeps hurting. I hate it. I have to say something. It wasn't her, I say to Kenji. I shoot him a sharp look. Leave her alone, I mouth. You know she didn't even touch you.
I don't know that, actually, Kenji says, ignoring my more subtle hints to change the subject. And it's not like I'm blaming her. I'm just saying maybe she's projecting and doesn't know it, okay? Because last I checked, I don't think we have any other explanations for what happened last night. It sure as hell wasn't you, he says to me. And shit, for all we know, Warner being able to touch Juliet could just be a fluke. We don't know anything about him yet.
A pause.
Right? Unless Warner pulled some kind of magical rabbit out of his ass while I was busy being dead last night?
I frown, look away.
Right, Kenji says. That's what I thought. So, I think it's best if, unless absolutely necessary, I stay away.
He turns to Juliet.
Right? No offense, right? I mean, I did nearly just die. I think you could cut me some slack.
Yeah, of course, Juliet says quietly.
She tries to laugh, but it comes out all wrong. I wish I could reach for her. I wish I could wrap her up in my arms. I want to protect her. I want to be able to take care of her, but that seems impossible now.
So, anyway, Kenji says, when are we leaving?
That gets my attention.
You're insane, I say to him. You're not going anywhere. Bullshit, I'm not.
You can barely stand up on your own.
I'd rather die out there than sit in here like some kind of idiot.
Kenji,
Juliet tries to say.
Hey, so I heard through the very loud grapevine that Warner got his ass the hell out of here last night.
Kenji looks at us.
What's that about?
Yeah, I say, my mood darkening. Who even knows? I never thought it was a good idea to keep him hostage here. It was an even stupider idea to trust him. Kenji raises an eyebrow.
So first you insult my idea and then you insult Castle's, huh?
They were bad calls, I say to him, refusing to back down. Bad ideas. Now we have to pay for it. It was Kenji's idea to take Warner hostage and Castle's idea to let him out of his room. And now we're all suffering. Sometimes I think this whole movement is led by a bunch of idiots.
Well, how was I supposed to know Anderson would be so willing to let his own son rot in hell?
I wince involuntarily. The reminder of my father and what he'd be willing to do to his own son is too much for me this morning. I swallow back the bile inching up my throat. Kenji notices.
Oh, hey, I'm sorry, man. I didn't mean to say it like that.
Forget it, I say to him. I'm glad Kenji's not dead, but sometimes all I really want to do is kick his ass. Maybe you should get back to the medical wing. We're leaving soon.
I'm not going anywhere but out of here.
Kenji, please.
Juliet again.
Nope.
You're being unreasonable. This isn't a joke,
she says to him.
People are going to die today.
Kenji laughs at her.
I'm sorry, are you trying to teach me about the realities of war?
He shakes his head.
Are you forgetting that I was a soldier in Warner's army? Do you have any idea how much crazy shit we've seen?
He gestures to me.
I know exactly what to expect today. Warner was insane. If Anderson is even twice as bad as his son, then we are diving right into a bloodbath. I can't leave you guys hanging like that.
Juliet is frozen, her lips just parted, her eyes wide and horrified. Her reaction feels a little exaggerated. There's definitely something wrong with her today. I know part of what she's feeling has to do with Kenji, but suddenly I'm not sure if there isn't something else, something she's not telling me. I can't read her clearly. Then again, I feel like I haven't been able to read her clearly for a while now.
Was he really that bad?
Juliet asks.
Who?
Kenji and I ask at the same time.
Warner,
she says.
Was he really that ruthless?
God, she's so obsessed with him. She has some weird fascination with this twisted life that I don't understand, and it makes me crazy. I can already feel myself getting angry, annoyed, jealous even, which is ridiculous. Warner isn't even human. I shouldn't be comparing myself to him. Besides, she's not his type at all. He'd probably eat her alive. Kenji, however, doesn't seem to have my problem. He's laughing so hard he's practically wheezing.
Ruthless? Juliet, the guy is sick. He's an animal. I don't think he even knows what it means to be human. If there's a hell out there, I'm guessing it was designed especially for him.
I catch a glimpse of Juliet's face just before I hear a rush of footsteps charging down the hall. We all glance at one another, but I look at Juliet for a second longer, wishing I could read her mind. I have no idea what she's thinking or why she still looks so horrified. I want to talk to her in private, find out what's going on, but then Kenji nods at me, and I know I have to clear my head. It's time to go. We all get to our feet. Hey, so does Castle know what you're doing? I ask Kenji. I don't think he'd be okay with you going out there today.
Castle wants me to be happy, Kenji says, and I won't be happy if I stay here. I've got work to do. People to save, ladies to impress. He'd respect that.
What about everyone else? Juliet asks him. Everyone was so worried about you. Have you even seen them yet? To at least tell them you're okay?
Nah, Kenji says. They'd probably shit a brick if they knew I was going up. I thought it'd be safer to keep it quiet. I don't want to freak anyone out. And Sonia and Sarah, poor kids, they're passed the hell out. It's my fault they're so exhausted and they're still talking about heading out today. They want to fight even though they're going to have a lot of work to do once we're done with Anderson's army. I've been trying to convince them to stay here, but they can be so damn stubborn. They need to save their strength, he says. And they've already wasted too much of it on me.
It's not a waste, she says.
Anyway, Kenji says, can we please get going? I know you're all about hunting down Anderson, he says to me, but personally, I would love to catch Warner. Put a bullet through that worthless piece of crap and be done with it.
I'm about to laugh, finally, someone who agrees with me, when I see Juliet double over. She steadies herself quickly enough, but she's blinking fast and breathing hard, eyes up at the ceiling.
Hey, you okay? I pull her to the side and study her face. She scares the shit out of me sometimes. I worry about her almost as much as I do about James.
I'm okay, she says too many times, nodding and shaking her head over and over again.
I just didn't get enough sleep last night, but I'll be fine.
I hesitate.
Are you sure?
I'm positive,
she says, and then she grabs my shirt, eyes wild.
Hey, just be careful out there, okay?
I nod, more confused by the second.
Yeah, you too.
Let's go, let's go, let's go! Kenji interrupts us. Today is our day to die, ladies!
I relax and shove him a little. It's nice to have him around to break up the monotony in this place. Kenji punches me in the arm.
So now you're abusing the crippled kid, huh?
I laugh, flip him off.
Save your angst for the battlefield, bro!
He grins.
You're going to need it.
Chapter 5. It's raining like hell. It's cold and wet and muddy and shitty, and I hate this. I scowl at Kenji and Juliet, jealous of their fancy suits. Those things are built to give them protection from this crazy winter weather. I should have asked for one. I'm already freezing my ass off. We're at the clearing, the barren stretch at the entrance of Omega Point, and most everyone else is scattered. Our only defense is guerrilla warfare, so we've been divided into groups. Me, an ill, barely able to walk straight Kenji, and Juliet, who's officially locked herself in her own head today. This is our team. Yeah, I'm definitely worried. Anyway, at least Kenji is doing his thing. We're already invisible. But now it's time to find the action and join in. The sound of gunshots rings out loud and clear, so we've already got a direction to move in. No one speaks, but we already know the rules. We fight to protect the innocent, and we fight to survive. That's it. The rain is really messing things up, though. It's falling harder and faster now, pelting me in the face and blurring my vision. I can hardly see straight. I try to wipe the water from my eyes, but it's no use. There's too much. I do know we're getting closer to the compounds, so at least there's that. The outline of the buildings comes into focus, and I feel myself getting excited. I'm armed to the teeth and ready to fight, ready to do whatever is necessary to take down the reestablishment. But I'm not gonna lie, I'm still a little worried we've got a handicap. Juliet has never done this before. If it were up to me, she'd be back on base with James, where I know she'd be safe, but she wouldn't listen to me, even if I asked her to. Kenji and Castle are always blowing smoke up her ass when they shouldn't, and honestly, it's dangerous. It's not good to make her think she can do this kind of thing when really it'll probably get her killed. She's not a soldier. She doesn't know how to fight, and she has no idea how to use her powers, not really, which makes things even worse. It's basically like giving a toddler a stick of dynamite and telling him to walk into a fire. So yeah, I'm worried. I'm really worried something is going to happen to her. And maybe to us by extension. But no one ever listens to me, so here we are. I sigh and forge ahead, irritated, until I hear a piercing scream in the distance. High alert. Kenji squeezes my hand and I squeeze back to let him know I understand. The compounds are straight ahead, and Kenji pulls us forward until we're standing flush against the back wall of a unit. There's just enough overhang from the roof to keep the rain off. It's just my shitty luck that we're doing this on a rainy day. My clothes are so wet, I feel like I've pissed my pants. Kenji elbows me just a little, and I'm paying attention again. I hear the sound of a door slam open, and I go rigid. I reach for my gun automatically. It feels like I've been through this a million times before, but it's never something I get used to.
"This is the last of them," a voice shouts. "She was hiding out over here."
A soldier is dragging a woman out of her home, and she won't stop screaming. My heart speeds up, and I grip my gun more tightly. It's sick the way some of the soldiers treat the civilians. I get that he's under orders, I really do. But the poor woman is begging for mercy, and he's dragging her by the hair and shouting at her to shut up. Kenji is barely breathing next to me. I glance Juliet's way before I realize we're still invisible, and as I turn my head, I catch a glimpse of another soldier. He jogs over from across the field and shoots the first guy a signal. Not the kind of signal I was hoping for. Shit.
"Toss her in with everyone else," the other soldier is saying now, "and then we'll call this area clear."
Suddenly, he's gone around the corner, and no one's left but us, one soldier and the lady he's holding hostage. Other soldiers must have rounded up the remaining civilians before we got here. Then the woman loses it. She's completely hysterical and doesn't seem to be in control of her body anymore. She's gone totally animal, screeching and clawing and flailing, tripping over her own feet. She's asking after her husband and her daughter, and I almost have to close my eyes. It's hard to watch this stuff when I already know what's going to happen. War never gets easier when you don't agree with what's going on. Sometimes I let myself get excited about going to battle. I have to convince myself I'm doing something worthwhile. But fighting another soldier is way easier than dealing with some lady who's about to watch her daughter get shot in the head. Juliet will probably puke. The action is so close to us now that I instinctively press my back into the wall, forgetting again that we're invisible. The soldier grabs the lady and slams her body against the outside of the unit, and I feel the three of us collectively freak out for a second, calming down just in time to watch the soldier press the barrel of his gun to the lady's neck and say,
"If you don't shut up, I'll shoot you right now."
What an asshole. The lady faints. The soldier doesn't seem to care. He pulls her out of sight, in the same direction his comrade went, and that's our cue to follow. I can hear Kenji cursing under his breath. He's got a soft stomach, that guy. He was always soft when it came to this stuff. I met him for the first time on one of our rounds. When we came back, Kenji lost his shit. Just completely lost it. They put him in solitary confinement for a little while, and after that, he kept his emotional breakdowns to a minimum. Most soldiers know better than to complain out loud. I should have known then that Kenji wasn't really one of us. I shudder against the cold. We're still following the soldier, but it's hard to stay too close to him in this weather. Visibility is shot, and the wind is blowing the rain around so hard it's almost like we're trapped in a hurricane. This is going to get ugly really quickly. Then, a small voice.
What do you think is going on?
Juliet. Of course she has no idea what's happening. Why would she? The smart thing to do would be to hide her somewhere, keep her safe, out of danger. A weak link can bring everything down with it. And I don't think this is the time to be taking chances. But Kenji, as usual, doesn't seem to agree. Apparently, he doesn't mind making time to give Juliet a tutorial on being at war in Sector 45.
They're herding them up, Kenji explains. They're creating groups of people to kill all at once.
The woman?
Juliet says.
Yeah,
Kenji cuts her off.
Yeah,
Kenji says again.
She and whoever else they think might be connected to the protests,
he says.
They don't just kill the insiders. They kill the friends and the family members, too. It's the best way to keep people in line. It never fails to scare the shit out of the few left alive.
I have to jump in before Juliet asks any more questions. Those soldiers aren't going to wait patiently for us to get there. We have to make a move now, and we need a plan.
There has to be a way to get them out of there, I say. Maybe we can take out the soldiers in charge.
Yeah, but listen. You guys know I'm going to have to let go of you, right?
Kenji asks.
I'm already kind of losing strength. My energy is fading faster than normal. So you'll be visible. You'll be a clearer target.
But what other choice do we have?
Juliet asks. She's like the second coming of James. I feel for my gun, flexing and unflexing my fingers around it. We need to get going. We need to move now.
We could try to take them out sniper style,
Kenji says.
We don't have to engage in direct combat. We have that option.
He pauses.
Juliet, you've never been in this kind of situation before. I want you to know I'd respect your decision to stay out of the direct line of fire. Not everyone can stomach what we might see if we follow those soldiers. There's no shame or blame in that.
Yes, good. Let her stay behind where she won't get hurt.
I'll be okay,
she says. I swear under my breath.
Just, all right, but don't be afraid to use your abilities to defend yourself,
Kenji says. He seems a little nervous about her, too.
I know you're all weird about not wanting to hurt people or whatever, but these guys aren't messing around. They will try to kill you.
Right,
Juliet says.
Yeah, let's go.
Chapter 6.
Juliet shouldn't have to see this.
Six soldiers have rounded up almost 30 civilians, a mix of men, women, and children, and they're going to kill them. It's basically a firing squad. They'll just go down the row, pop, 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 and then drag the dead bodies away, put them into an incinerator, clean it up, nice and simple. It's disgusting. I'm not sure what the soldiers are waiting for, though. Maybe they need final approval from somewhere, but there's a slight delay as they talk amongst themselves. It's raining really freaking hard, so that might have something to do with it. Honestly, they might not even be able to see where they're shooting. We should be taking advantage of this opportunity. This weather might end up helping us out in the end. I squint against the rain and take a closer look at the people, trying hard not to lose my head. They're not doing too well, and I'm not either, to be honest. Some are pretty hysterical, and it makes me wonder how I would do in a situation like that. Maybe I'd be like that guy in the middle, standing there with absolutely no expression on his face. He looks almost like he's accepted what's going to happen, and somehow his certainty hits me even harder than the tears. A shot rings out.
Damn it.
A guy on the far left falls to the ground, and I'm shaking with anger. These people need our help. We can't just hang back and watch 30 unarmed, innocent people get killed when we could find a way to save them.
We're supposed to be doing something, but we're standing here for some bullshit reason I can't understand, because Juliet is scared or Kenji is sick, and I guess the truth is we're just a bunch of crappy teenagers, two of whom can barely stand up straight or fire a weapon, and it's unacceptable. I'm just about to say something. I'm about to yell something, actually, when Kenji lets go of my hand. About goddamn time. We charge straight ahead and my gun is already up and aimed. I spot the soldier who fired the first shot and I know I need to fire. There's no room for hesitation. I get lucky. He goes down instantly. Five more soldiers to take out. Soldiers I'm hoping I won't recognize, and I'm doing my best, but it's not easy. It was pure luck that got me that first target. It's almost impossible to shoot well in this weather. I can barely see where I'm going, much less where I'm shooting, but I drop to the ground just in time to avoid a stray bullet. At least the rain is making it hard for them to take us out, too. Kenji is making miracles happen today. He's invisible now and working fast. He's staying sharp despite being injured, and he's just a part of the wind, taking out three soldiers in one go. Two soldiers are left, and they're distracted by Kenji's dance just long enough for me to take one down. One more left, and I'm about to take him out too, when I see Juliet shoot him from behind. Not bad. Kenji reappears just then, and he starts bellowing for the civilians to follow us back to shelter, and Juliet and I join in, doing what we can to get them to safety as quickly as possible. There are a few compounds still standing, and they should be enough. The civilians can get inside and away from the battle, as well as the storm brewing in the sky. And even though their gratitude is touching, we can't stop long enough to talk to them. We have to settle them back into their homes and then keep moving. It's what I've always done. Always keep moving. I glance at Juliet as we run, wondering how she's holding up, and for a second, I'm confused. I can't tell if she's crying or if it's just the rain streaking down her cheeks. I'm hoping she'll be okay, though. It kills me to see her deal with this. I wish she didn't have to. We're running again, charging through the compounds now that we've gotten the civilians back into their homes. This was just a stop on the way to our final destination. We haven't even reached the battlefield yet, where point men and women are already trying to keep reestablishment soldiers from slaughtering innocent civilians. Things are about to get much, much worse. Kenji is pulling us through the half-demolished landscape. I know we're getting closer to the action now because there's so much more devastation here. Units falling apart and half on fire, their contents strewn everywhere. Ripped couches and broken lamps, clothes and shoes and fallen bodies to step over. The compounds feel like they could stretch on forever, and the farther we go, the uglier it gets. "We're close!" I shout to Kenji. He nods, and I'm surprised he even heard me. I hear a familiar sound. "Tanks!" I call out to him. "You hear that?" Kenji shoots me a bleak look and nods. "Let's move," he says, making a motion with his hand. "We're not far now." It's a fight to get to the fight, the wind whistling hard in our ears and slapping sharply against our faces, angry raindrops pelting our skin, soaking our hair. I'm frozen to the bone, but there's no time to be bothered by it. I've got adrenaline, and that'll have to be enough for now. The earth shakes under our feet as a harsh, booming sound explodes in the sky. In an instant, the horizon is lit on fire, flames roaring in the distance. Someone is dropping bombs, and that means we're already screwed. My heart is beating fast and hard, and I'd never admit it out loud, but I'm starting to get nervous. I glance at Juliet again. I know she's probably scared, and I want to reassure her, to tell her everything is going to be okay, but she doesn't look my way. She's in another world, her eyes cold and sharp, focused on the fire in the distance. She looks different, a little scary even. Somehow, that worries me even more. I'm paying such close attention to her that I almost trip. The ground is slick underfoot, and I'm up to my ankles in mud. I pull my legs free as we forge ahead, guns steady in my hands, and focus. This is it. This is where it's all about to get very serious, and I know enough about war to be honest with myself. I might walk onto that battlefield with a beating heart and be dragged off with a dead one.
I take a deep breath as we approach, three invisible kids walking through the compounds. We make our way over fallen units, broken glass from shattered windows. We sidestep the garbage strewn about and try not to hear the sound of people screaming. And I don't know about the rest of us, but I'm doing my best to fight the urge to turn around and run back to where we started. Suddenly, James is the only person on my mind. Chapter 7. Shit. This is even worse than I was expecting. There are fallen bodies everywhere, collapsed and piled together and bleeding into one another. It's almost impossible to distinguish arms from legs, enemies from allies. Blood and rain are mixing together and flooding the ground, and suddenly my boots are slick with mud and the blood of someone else, dead or alive, I don't know. It takes just a split second for enemy combatants to realize we're new to the battlefield. When they do, they don't hesitate. We're already under siege, and I glance back just in time to catch a glimpse of Juliet and Kenji still making their way forward before I feel something sharp slam into my back. I spin around, and one sharp crack later, my soldier's got a broken jaw. He doubles over and reaches for his gun, and I beat him to it. Now he's down and out, and I'm already moving on to the next one. We're all so jam-packed together that hand-to-hand combat seems unavoidable. I duck to avoid a right hook and punch the opposing soldier in the gut on my way up, grabbing a knife from my belt to follow through. In, up, twist, and he's done. I yank my knife out of his chest as he falls. Someone charges at me from behind, and I turn to meet him when suddenly he's coughing up blood and falling to his knees. Kenji saved my ass. He's on the move and moving well, still not letting his injury cripple him. We're fighting together, he and I can feel his movements beside me. We shout warnings to each other, helping each other when we can, and we're actually doing okay, making our way through the madness, when I hear Kenji shouting my name, his voice scared and urgent. Suddenly, I'm invisible, and Kenji is screaming at me about Juliet, and I don't know what's happening, but I'm freaking out, and I know now's not the time to ask questions. We fight our way back to the front and jet toward the road, Kenji's panicked voice telling me he saw Juliet go down and get dragged away, and that's all I need to hear. I'm one part furious and one part terrified, and the two are having a battle of their own in my mind. I knew this would happen. I knew she never should have come with us. I knew she should have stayed behind. She's not built for this. She's not strong enough to be on the battlefield. She would have been so much safer if she'd stayed behind. Why does no one ever listen to me? Damn it! I want to scream. When we reach the road, Kenji pulls me back, and though we're out of breath and barely able to speak, we catch a glimpse of Juliet as she's loaded into the back of a tank, her body limp and heavy as they drag her inside. It's over in a matter of seconds. They're already driving away. Juliet is gone. My chest cracks open. Kenji has a firm hand on my shoulder, and I realize I'm saying, oh God, over and over again when Kenji has the decency to shake some sense into me. Get your shit together, he says. We need to go after her. My legs are unsteady, but I know he's right. Where do you think they went? They're probably carting her back to base. Damn it, of course. Warner wants her back, Kenji nods. That was probably his team he sent to collect her. He swears under his breath. Only good thing about that is we know he doesn't want her dead. I grit my teeth to keep from losing my mind. All right then, let's go. God, I can't wait to get my hands on that psychopath. I'm going to enjoy killing him, slowly, carefully, cutting him to pieces one finger at a time. But Kenji hesitates and I stare at him. What? I ask. I can't project, bro. My energy is shot. He sighs. I'm sorry. My body is seriously jacked up right now. Shit. Contingency plan? We can avoid the main roads, he says. Take the back route and head to base on our own. It'd be easier to track the tank, but if we do, you'll be in plain sight. It's your call. I frown. Yeah, I vote for the plan that doesn't get me killed instantly. Kenji grins.
Okay then, let's go get our girl back.
My girl, I correct him. She's my girl. Kenji snorts as we head in the direction of the compounds.
Right, minus the part where she's not actually your girl. Not anymore.
Shut up.
Uh-huh.
Whatever. Chapter 8. It takes us a while to get back to base because we have to be hyper-aware of my visibility. We're slower, more cautious, and careful to take our time hiding inside and around abandoned units every 100 yards or so, just to make sure the coast is clear around every corner. But when we're finally approaching base, shit kicks into high gear. We weren't the only ones taking the back route. Castle, Ian, Aaliyah, and Lily flipped out when they saw us. They were hiding inside a unit we thought for sure was empty. They jumped out at us from behind a bed, which made me nearly piss my pants. We only had a moment to explain what had happened before Castle was sharing his own story. They got Brendan and Winston back, broke them out of Sector 45 just as they'd originally planned, but the two of them were in bad shape when Castle found them.
We think they'll be okay, Castle is saying. But we have to get them to the girls as soon as possible. I'm hoping they'll be able to help.
The girls are on the battlefield, Kenji says, eyes wide. I have no idea where. They insisted on fighting today.
Castle's face falls, and though he doesn't say it out loud, it's clear he's suddenly very worried. Where are they now? I ask. Brendan and Winston.
Hiding, Castle says.
What?
Kenji looks around.
Why? Why aren't you taking them back to point?
Castle goes pale. It's Lily who speaks.
We heard whispers while we were on base breaking them out, she says. Whispers of what the soldiers are going to do next.
They're mobilizing for an air assault,
Ian cuts in.
We just heard they're going to bomb Omega Point. We were still trying to figure out what we should do when we heard someone coming and jumped in here.
He nods around the unit.
To hide.
What? Kenji panics.
But how do you?
It's definite,
Castle says. His eyes are deep and tortured. Terrified.
I heard the orders myself. They're hoping that if they hit it with enough firepower, everything underground will just collapse in on itself.
But sir, no one knows the exact location of Omega Point. It's not possible.
It is,
Aaliyah says. I've never heard her speak before, and I'm surprised by the softness of her voice.
They tortured the information out of some of our own.
On the battlefield,
Ian says.
Just before killing them.
Kenji looks like he might throw up.
We have to go right now,
he says, his voice high and sharp.
We have to get everyone out of there, all the ones we left behind.
Only then does it hit me.
James.
I don't recognize my own voice. The horror, the panic, the dread that floods my body is something I've never felt, never known before. Not like this.
We have to get James.
I'm shouting and Kenji is trying to calm me down, but this time I can't listen. I don't care if I have to go alone. I'm getting my brother out of there.
Let's go, I bark at Kenji. We have to get a tank and get back to base as soon as possible.
But what about Juliet?
Kenji asks.
Maybe we can split up. I can head back to point with Castle and Aaliyah. You can stay here with Ian and Lily.
No, I have to get James. I have to be there. I have to be the one to get him.
But Juliet.
You said yourself that Warner isn't going to kill her. She'll be okay there for a little while. But right now, they're going to blow up Omega Point and James, and everyone else is going to die. We have to go now.
Maybe I can stay here and look for Juliet, and you guys can go.
Juliet will be fine. She's not in any immediate danger here. Warner isn't going to hurt her.
But, Kenji, please.
I'm desperate now, and I don't care.
We need as many people at Omega Point as possible. There are tons of people left behind, and they don't stand a chance if we don't get to them now.
Kenji stares at me for just a moment longer before he nods.
You guys go grab Brendan and Winston,
he says to Castle and the three others.
Kent and I will commandeer a tank and meet you back here. We'll do everything we can to get back to point as soon as possible.
The second everyone is gone, I grab Kenji by the arm. If anything happens to James,
we're going to do everything we can, I promise.
That's not good enough for me. I need to go get him. I need to go right now.
You can't go right now, Kenji snaps. Save your stupid for later, Kent. Now more than ever, you need to stay in control. If you go crazy and head back to Point on foot with no regard for your own safety, you'll be dead before you even get there, and any chance of saving James will be lost. You want to keep your little brother alive? Make sure you don't kill yourself while you're trying to save him.
I feel like my throat is closing up. He can't die, I say, my voice breaking. I can't be the reason he dies, Kenji. I can't. Kenji blinks fast, forcing back his own emotion.
I know, man, but I can't think like that right now. We have to keep moving.
Kenji is still talking, but I can hardly hear him.
James.
Oh, God. What have I done? Chapter 9. I have no idea how we all fit inside this tank. We're 8 people jammed into cramped quarters, sitting on laps, and no one even cares. The tension is so thick it's practically its own person, taking up a seat we don't have to spare. I can barely think straight. I'm trying to breathe, trying to stay calm, and I can't. The planes are already overhead, and I feel sick in a way I don't know how to explain. It's deeper than my stomach, bigger than my heart, more overwhelming than just my mind. It's like fear has become me. It wears my body like an old suit. Fear is all I have left now. I think we all feel it. Kenji is driving this tank, somehow still able to function in the face of all this, but no one else is moving, not speaking, not even breathing too loudly. I feel so sick. Oh God, oh God. Drive faster, I want to say, but then actually I don't. I don't know if I want to hurry up or slow down. I don't know what will hurt more. I watched my own mother die, and somehow it didn't hurt as much as this. I throw up then. All over the floor mats, the dead body of my 10-year-old brother. I'm dry heaving, wiping my mouth on my shirt. Will it hurt when he dies? Will he feel it? Will he be killed instantly, or will he be impaled, injured somehow, and die slowly? Will he bleed to death all alone? My 10-year-old brother? I'm holding fast to the dashboard, trying to steady my heart, my breathing. It's impossible. The tears are falling fast now, my shoulders shaking, my body breaking. The planes get louder as they come closer. I can hear it now. We all can. We're not even there yet. We hear the bombs explode far off in the distance, and that's when I feel it. The bones inside of me fracture, little earthquakes breaking me apart. The tank stops. There's no going forward anymore. There's no one and nothing to get to, and we all know it. The bombs keep falling, and I hear the explosions echoing the sounds of my own sobs, loud and gasping in the silence. I have nothing left now. Nothing left. Nothing so precious as my own flesh and blood. I've just dropped my head into my hands when a scream pierces the quiet.
Kenji, look!
It's Aaliyah, shrieking from the back seat as she throws the door open and jumps out. I follow her with my eyes and only then see what she saw, and it takes just seconds before I'm out the door and bolting past her, falling to my knees in front of the one person I never thought I'd see, not ever again. Chapter 10. I'm almost too overcome to speak. James is standing in front of me, sobbing, and I don't know if I'm dreaming.
James?
I hear Kenji say. I look back to see almost everyone has gotten out of the tank now.
Is that you, buddy? Addie, I'm sorry,
he hiccups.
I know you said I wasn't supposed to fight, but I couldn't stay behind and I had to leave.
I pull him into my arms, clutching him tight, hardly able to breathe.
I wanted to fight with you, he stammers. I didn't want to be a baby. I wanted to help.
Shh, I say to him. It's okay, James. It's okay. We're okay. It's going to be okay.
But Addie,
he says,
you don't know what happened. I'd only been gone a little while, and then I saw the planes.
I shush him again and tell him it's okay, that we know what happened, that he's safe now.
I'm sorry I couldn't help you,
he says, pulling back to look me in the eye, his cheeks a splotchy red and streaked with tears.
I know you said I shouldn't, but I really wanted to help.
I pick him up, cradling his body in my arms as I carry him back to the tank, and only then realize that the wet stain down the front of his pants isn't from the rain. James must have been terrified. He must have been scared out of his mind, and still he snuck out of Omega Point because he wanted to help, because he wanted to fight alongside us. I could kill him for it. But damn if he's not one of the bravest people I've ever known. Chapter 11. Once we're back in the tank, we realize we have no idea what to do. Nowhere to go. The depth of what's happened has only begun to hit us, and just